When it comes to religion and its claims, whether they are based on revealed texts or interior visions, the one common denominator is that we somehow have to check our brains in at the door before entering into the tabernacle of ultimate truth. Yet it is exactly that brain, that 3 pounds of wonder tissue or glorious meat, as Patricia Churchland so succinctly puts it, that has allowed us to ponder life's ultimate questions. It is that very brain which has led us to pray, to read, to meditate. It is also that very brain which can misinterpret exterior stimuli as well as internal neural firing. My hunch is that before we make any ultimate claims for truth, we can understand that we are constantly subject to error. So, the mystic may potentially be better off than the mere believer, who only reads but never actually engages in technical spiritual practices, because he or she gets first-hand experiences of alternate realms of consciousness, not merely menu descriptions of them. But this does not mean that the mystic has experienced the truth in all its purity, and that the mystic somehow knows the efficacy of other spiritual teachers or paths. No, what the mystic does in fact know is rather quite simple, a different state of consciousness, which he or she interprets according to his or her culture or religious background. On that score, I do think that mystics are on the right track. It is better to experiment than simply speculate. Yet the results of those experiments are subject to numerous interpretations, some of which are better than others. Since we are all still at such a preliminary level in our investigation of states of consciousness beyond the waking rational level, it seems to me to be a much wiser course for us to adopt a stance of honest humility and openness that succumb prematurely to absolute statements or theorizing, which in the end causes much more harm than good. But isn't the materialist agenda too myopic for its own good? John Searle, professor of philosophy at UC Berkeley, persuasively argues that third-person descriptions of first-person narratives cannot adequately do justice to the subjective nature of such experiences. And even if analogies cannot constitute evidence, they can, at the very least, prompt unexpected voyages which can, on their return trips, provide the tangible evidence that was missing at the outset. Witness Charles Darwin and his 5-year journey on the HMS Beagle, or Captain Cook's encounters in Tahiti and beyond. What kinds of evidence can a mystic proffer that would convince neuroscientists that their very paradigm may need to be transcended? Perhaps the evidence we seek is by its nature transcendent and not amendable to empirical test claims? If so, then we are truly not in a Newtonian or Einsteinian world anymore, and we should straight up admit it. That is, if mysticism is indeed a transpersonal science, then it may just have to go it alone and forget convincing us flatlanders otherwise. I say this because if consciousness is indeed multidimensional in an ontological sense, then it won't be possible to reduce one state to another without concealing its most important features. If this is indeed the case, as some mystics have argued, then we may be confronting the limits of what has been tantalizingly termed the Chandian effect.